I would go to every record company in the world in New York City, and I would get a nice note. You know, I tell people all the time, it's more expensive if you don't get the knowledge. I try to teach my kids to be independent and bosses. All that college shit, I'd rather give my daughter $60,000 to open up a salon. I'd rather give my son $10,000 to go to the studio. Then,
yeah. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a milli every week. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a billy every week. I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire, I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire, I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a billy every week. I ain't gonna be a billionaire.
Ladies and gentlemen, how you doing? Welcome to another episode of Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas. Now today, I got a very special guest on my show, ladies and gentlemen. You in for a treat, so take some notes. This man is an executive producer of music, television, film, CEO of Iceman Entertainment. Ladies and gentlemen, Back Talk Entertainment, pardon me.
No, that's one of my companies too, so you did right.
Oh, okay. He's doing a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, Omar Iceman Sharif. What's good, baby?
Black man.
How you doing today, man?
I'm good, man. I'm blessed, man, with my family and shit. I'm good, man.
Love it, man. Good to have you here, man. You know what I'm saying? It's been a minute, man. We've been on a bunch of conference calls. So I don't see this guy no more, man.
Yeah, you know, behind the scenes, me and this guy got something real big brewing. Mm-hmm. So,
yes, sir.
You know, that's gonna come into fruition because, you know, everything is destined. You know what I'm saying? So that's gonna happen. So look out for something really, really major. A lot of zeros, a lot of commas.
Yes, sir.
Ownership. You know what I'm saying? Relevance, all of that packaged up, you know what I mean? So look for something real quiet, real soon.
Hell yeah, man. Nah, man, I really always enjoyed your vibe from when I first met you, man. I feel like we got similar backgrounds, you know what I mean? We both come from the hood, we both started as artists, and we both found our way to do deals and do business within this industry we love outside of artistry, you know what I'm saying? And that's pretty much what the show teaches people is how to really identify your purpose in this world, you know what I'm saying? Even through chasing your dream, even when that first initial dream isn't the dream that makes you build a foundation for your family and all that, you know what I mean?
Well, your dream is actually your inner navigation to where you're going. So when your natural navigation turns on from daydream, that's really what you're supposed to follow, your dreams.
Okay.
See, people, you know, 85% of the world doesn't follow their dreams, they just dream. So a dream without action is just a dream, right? But, you know, I tell people all the time, it's more expensive if you don't get the knowledge. Get the knowledge and it'll be less expensive. Having no knowledge is expensive.
Right, that's a fact. It'll cost you in the long run, that's a fact.
Right.
But better late than never, though. There's always time to learn.
Right, always.
Word, man. So yeah, man, so just bring the people up to speed and the things that you've been involved in, you know what I'm saying, that got you to the position that you're at now.
Yeah, just, you know, not to drag it on, but like, you know, I've been in the game 30 years. Started out as an artist, New York City, Fever Records, and I came out with my first album. It was called Most Wanted. I was like 16 years old. And then fast forward, you know, I wind up working for WEA, Warner Electric and Atlantic, as an intern and, you know, a temp, and you know, and I worked my way up to A&R. And then, but as I was doing A&R, I was so young still, I was just like, yo, man, doing my music, blah, blah, blah. So I would go to every record company in the world in New York City, and I would get a nice note or a demo deal or whatever, but the most valuable part of the whole thing was my network that I was building. You know, I thought being an artist was forever. You know what I mean? Like, hell, that's what I'm doing. You know, you're young, you know, you don't know what's going on. You're just like, you know, I'm doing this, right? So, but with me, it became serious because I had children early. So by the time I was 20, 21, I had two kids, right? So right then and there, I had to turn shit into something real.
Right.
Something I could put my hands on, right? So the dream part never left. That's still the navigation, right? So I was able to flip the network and still chase my dreams I was still getting bags, you know what I'm saying? I was doing films, I was doing whatever to stay in the industry. That's what it was at the time. It was like, yo, you have to be in the industry. Mm-hmm. So as a young man, I always tried to find a way. I was in the Source modeling, I was in the Vibe magazine modeling, mm-hmm. I was in this movie with Spike Lee, I'm doing videos of Michael Jackson, all types of shit, right?
Right.
So, but I was making my money, right? Because I'm a natural born hustler, mm-hmm. right? So fast forward, I said, let me take a trip to Cali, went to Cali. I said, oh shit, oh, this is where it's at. This is, I can make all this pop
exactly.
10 times as much than I, you know, you gotta make it in your city first.
Right.
Right, so I made it in my city at 16, right? So, you know, my mom was like, yo, you need to take a city job. You
need a plan B.
I'm like, yo, you know what? I love you, but I'm gonna do me. So, you know, my mom was a blue collar, strong black woman. Mm. She wasn't having all that dreaming shit. Mm. She wanted to see a check. Mm. So by the time I came to Cali, my money was right, moved to Cali, you know, but I was speeding. I had to learn a lot of shit too fast. You know, I was like, this is easy. Mm-hmm. So I started to just, me and my dudes started jumping over the place, the lots, mm-hmm. you know, Warner Brothers, NBC, Universal, mm-hmm. to find deals, you know what I'm saying? So while we're doing that, I'm taking the energy from New York City and those deals, applying it to the Cali stuff and the Hollywood stuff, and it was a lot easier. Mm. By my first year I came there, I did a catalog deal that was worth millions, then it wound up turning to be worth billions. Mm. I did, we'll talk about that. Mm. But then, you know, I started doing a lot of artist deals, you know, like I was like, I seen a lot of artists and talent in Hollywood. They was like, what's going on with you? How you getting on? Like, I was like, wait, hold on. You did 20 films and you did 100 television shows. I'm like, yo, what's up? So I started being a bridge between content creators and content people and all these guys in corporate. Mm-hmm.
The network to me.
Yeah, which is the networks.
Right.
So the corporate side, but there was other parts of corporate. There's marketing, there's, you know, ads. Back then it was ads and, you know, marketing and, you know, these type of things. And you needed an agent to pitch you to the networks. And we didn't want that.
Right.
We was, you know,
to go direct.
Unconventional. Right. You know, we like, you from the hood, his office is right there. Why do I gotta go through this guy? I can see his office right here.
Right.
And I'm like, yo, my man, do. I got something to pop. I was like, yo, who are you? You know, I'm like, yo, you know what? Sit down. Next thing you know, I'm in there pitching shows and shit.
Right.
You know? And I remember, you know, we be a federal star back in the days.
Big Onyx, you heard?
Yeah. And shout out to federal because
love that dude, man.
You know, when I'm running around in Hollywood, we met up, like we all came together from New York to LA to do it, right? Mm-hmm. So we running around, we not getting involved with the politics and the negativity, we stay working, right? So he was like, yo, son, can you give me a record deal? I said, hell yeah. Boom, got a record deal. Mm. We started taking off from there. We did world tours. We did about, you know, 20 Onyx albums together. I executive produced.
Awesome.
You know, so post Def Jam, you know, I did 99% of those albums. So, but the point I'm saying is we would take his celebrity and we would go infiltrate these lots. Mm. And they'd be like, oh shit, I'll see you in this movie. He's like, oh yeah, we got a movie. Mm. And they're like, oh, okay, cool. But we'll give you this kind of deal. You know what I mean? Write your script and everything. We running around with rap money, movie money. We young, staying out the way, buying shit, living in Westwood, living in Beverly Hills, you know, and staying consistent because I always made sure we all had a record deal.
Right.
So the point I say all of that is to say, because of Federal and Sticky, you know, they helped me get into the film business and I was able to take my knowledge of corporate, the streets, apply it to the boardrooms to be effective. Because at the end of the day, it's about being effective, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you know, motion and movement is not the same thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I try to teach my young guys to stay relevant and not fake important, you know what I'm saying?
Break that down. That was a jewel right there. Motion and movement, not the same thing. Break that down.
well, like you can be running in place, like you can be running up, because I was doing it. You know what I'm saying? I was, mm-hmm. But you got to go through it to learn. Now I know what not to do. And that's like going up to places. I would spend my money, go to these conferences. I got to get next to these people because we didn't have social media. Mm-hmm. Social media, you save more money now. You're like, yo, boom, I'm reaching out to Puff. I'm a DM Puff.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you had to fly to Miami, get a table that's $2,000, mm-hmm. have a car outside that you can't afford. It's $1,000 of 2 days. The room is $350 a night, and you out there like, and then the bouncer front said fronting on you at the door. You're like, wait. Nigga, what are you talking about? Then you gotta hit him with $1,000.
You're not on the list.
You gotta hit him. No, it don't even matter. You know, living on, you gotta pay him $1,000. You get it, oh, you're puffing. And then Puff got security. You're like, oh, Puff, you know, I got this idea, son. I gotta holler at you. But it wasn't that bad for us. You know, I did albums with Lul and stuff. So I had Puff relationships and stuff. But I'm just making that as a scenario, you know. But now you have social media, you could just, yo, DM somebody. Right. Back then, you had to do what you say you did. You got platinum jewelry. It was real. We didn't even have fake platinum shit back then.
Right.
This shit looked fake. It was like, that shit's fake. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Back in the days, you have like, fuck, man, my rent is fucked up. My watch is nice. You know, it was crazy, right?
Right.
So, fast forward, you know, experience mm-hmm. is the best teacher, right? Financial, corporate, business. That's the best in children, wife, family, you know, all these things are experiences. It's how you apply it to your life.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I try to teach my kids to be independent and bosses. All that college shit, I'd rather give my daughter $60,000 to open up a salon. I'd rather give my son $10,000 to go to a studio than have, you know, them in school with people who didn't follow their dreams. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. No, you ever met a financial person that's rich? Like, yo, let me give you, I know exactly how to invest your stock money. I know how to put your money where it's supposed to be, but they not rich.
Right.
So they had the answers, they be rich, right? So that's take care of your own fucking money, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, and you could be here. I'm in 2023, I think this year, right?
Yeah.
Going on 35
years.
Jordan
year. Mm-hmm. Jordan year.
Going on 35 years, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? Yeah, you heard? Young niggas, man. Mm-hmm. Run laps around you young niggas, man. Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding. I just want to help young people.
Yeah. You know what
I'm saying? Get them to where they're going. Content is king. And you have to, you know, instead of consuming content, create content.
Mm-hmm.
And you showed me some stuff recently that I apply to a lot of my stuff because I take my Harvard courses. I take some courses from Yale on business. Mm-hmm. I take, you know, all the business schools, some of their courses online.
Yeah.
So I always try to sharpen my sword, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, by the stuff content you gave me, I was like, oh shit. Oh my God, I'm bugging. I gotta get busy, right?
Yeah.
So, look out for this new, some new content coming. We got some content coming. Content is king, and I knew that. Mm-hmm. So before there was content as king, mm-hmm. I was able to do documentaries and sell them to Showtime because I didn't have a deal. So guys, like, you go to a company and they'll say, okay, well, what do you got? And you're like, yo, we got this idea. Like, oh, y'all came with the right outfit, the right idea and all that. Mm-hmm. But what you got? And you're like, we made it this far. Take us to the next level. Take us to the next level. They're like, yo, I tell you a funny story. A rich billionaire dude, you know, when I started first getting with next to billionaire dudes, I was smart enough to know, get next to these dudes, right?
Right.
I knew that early, right? So I go to this guy's, we partying all night, Hollywood, like, yeah, everything is popping. So you'll come to my office tomorrow. We're going to figure out what you want to do. Right? He's looking at me like, this nigga popping, right? So I get to the joint like, yeah, son. I asked the dude for like $150,000, man. Mm. Right? He was like, you know what, bro? I don't do deals less than $10 million. Mm. So, you know, I thought he was coming, you know, I was like, wow. And
that's humbling.
It was humbling. It was when you're young and crazy and wild and all that, and you get busy and you're just like, what? Okay. You leave and, you know, you're like, damn, son. You know, and I learned right then and there, you know what I mean? You have to push your mark back up so far that your profit margin, it has to be enough for you to survive.
Life changing,
right. Mm. So it's funny because I never forget that. He said, if you would have asked me for $10 million, I would have gave it to you.
Should have asked him right then.
No, because you have to have the idea. Because you come for $1.50, he's like,
yeah.
No, I was like, yo, I got $10 million ideas now. You know, I did all that. And he was like, it's all good, bro. We got time to, develop your shit. Still talk to him to this day. You know what I mean? I can ask him for money right now, but I never do. But you know, these relationships is the stuff that I had to start forming with. You know, a lot of brothers in the hood, they don't understand. Mm. It's about relationships and people that you fuck with. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know, people go back to the hood getting murdered. You know, niggas is lining niggas up, checking in, still getting lined up. Don't come near me and my peoples, period. We're not having it. Mm. I'm from the old school. We get busy. Stay away, you heard? But anyway. That's where we at. We with the business, and you know, if I can help a lot of young people get to where they're going, you know, I'm gonna do that. You know what I mean?
I'm glad you're taking business courses from like Harvard and stuff like that and applying it to what you're doing within this industry. Yeah. So with that being said, being that you learned all this business, have you ever experienced a bad deal? And how did you kind of maneuver it to make it a good one, or did you just kind of like
okay? Every deal. It's not about profit, and every profit ain't a good deal. Mm. Okay?
Bars.
I did a deal that a lot of people don't know, okay? And the deal wound up becoming billions. Mm. I did a deal, I was a young kid, I was about 24, 25, you know, right around my daughter, you know. And I did a deal with a company called D3 Entertainment. And this guy named Aldi Damien. This is history, I'm gonna just give you facts, right? And I was doing deals with him. I did a deal with this rapper named MC8. And he came to me one day, he said, yo, can you help me with this deal with Mac-10? I said, hell yeah, I'm from New York. You know, I just shot the deal with him, Old Dirty Bastard. I'm like, yeah, I'm with all that. Mac-10 gave me love, A8 gave me love, Amir on the West Side, we did an album together, executive producer to this day, still got the credit on the album, right? But this guy, Aldi, he distributed the Death Row catalog, right? And I just thought it was cool and all that stuff. I was just young, I was like, oh, wow, that's cool and all that, yeah. Still shopping him stuff, I started doing Onyx deals with him. And then one day, I came to his office, and he looked like he grew a beard and shit. I was like, yo, what's up? He was like, yo, you know, Suge Knight's calling me and he thinks I'm jerking him and all that. And as a New York nigga, I'm just like, yo, you better not be jerking Suge Knight. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You know, but these are the relationships I have with these corporate guys, and I still have that type of stuff where some of my guys, I don't even do a deal for a year. We still talk like family, what's up with your family, what's up with, right? Mm. So him, he cool like that. He says, like, so he says that. I said, do you think you could help me get the Death Row catalog somewhere? Because I can't deal with it no more. Mm. I was like, I don't know. Let me find out. So I called a guy by the name of Alan Grunblatt and Koch Records. Mm. Like Koch Records, you know, we were like the second artist on there. It was Pokemon over there. It was me and Federal Star. We took a pitch outside. They put that shit in the source. $30,000 ad. We was like, we fucking with them.
Right.
So we asked the source. They gave us, they gave us $1 million. Facts. Right, to get us $1 million, right? So boom, Aldi, he says, Omar, you're the best. So I connected Aldi Damien and D3 Entertainment, Riviera, this is all documented, in Koch Records. Michael Koch and a guy by the name of Alan Grunblatt. I'm young. I was also thinking, so because I was young, that the catalog, it runs out.
Right.
I didn't know it, you know. As a young man, I'm like this steam, the you know, because I would.
Yeah, there's residuals involved.
Not residuals involved, but I thought that if he was getting rid of it, trying to get rid of it, besides the beef that was coming his way, that if the money was so overwhelming, would you still keep doing the business? Mm-hmm. So as a young man, it was like, well, maybe it's not selling like it's supposed to, but he couldn't handle it. Now that I found out, he couldn't handle it. He handled the catalog, the type of company he had. Mm-hmm. So we did the deal with Koch Records and D3 Entertainment for the Death Row catalog. Mm-hmm. It was the biggest deal of my life, but it was the smallest, one of the smallest deals financially because I didn't understand at the time. Mm-hmm. But it wound up turning into a more financial for me because of the relationship that I got grandfathered in with these guys. Mm-hmm. So everything I bring, they sign it, right? Still to this day, I get busy. So the Koch Records deal and Death Row Souls. Once I got there to Death Row, Suge got his bread, all those guys, and then Alan blessed me, you know what I mean? I was part of what they was doing. He blessed me for putting everyone together. Mm. Everyone, from that day, I was just like, okay, cool. I'm doing deals with Slim Thug, I'm doing deals with Exhibit, I'm doing deals with Onyx, I'm doing deals with Loon, I'm doing Mariah Carey, deals, executive producing house, boom, boom, so I'm out the way. So one day, I look in a Billboard magazine, Koch Records sells to E1 100 million, right? Mm-hmm. And the Death Row shit is all in there. I was feeling some type of way, like I think I was fucked up too, I don't know.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Caught Alan, and he answered his phone. I'm like, oh shit, these motherfuckers, right? Right? Shout out to Alan Bro Black, we cool to this day. Mm. So, fast forward, Alan gets on the phone with me, we do a few more deals. Mm-hmm. That's how he's like, no, I got paid off the deal, you get what you negotiate. Mm. So I got what I negotiated. So it was beautiful, living in Westwood, my daughter's downstairs playing tennis, we have the pool over there, I got the X5 over there, my son is born, I bring him home, everything is beautiful. I'm like, So another company was like, yo, one thing about Alan, he always tells everybody, yo, nah, the Death Row deal's my guy. Omar did that, to this day, right? Mm-hmm. Gave me all the plaques, I got all the plaques, every single Death Row plaque, all that. Mm-hmm. Then, fast forward, we do another deal, and I'm just like, yeah, okay. E1 sells to Hasbro for $4 billion, right? So I'm like, you know, so I say all of that to say, you get what you negotiate. So I'm not bitter. A lot of my friends who are in the business like, yo, son, I know you, everyone know you did that deal. But it was not really my deal, you know. I was more focused on another way of doing business than the catalogs. I just thought like, if I get this dope ass one, I'm gonna get 10 million. Mm-hmm. But the money was really in that deal. Mm-hmm. But you know, a lot of make mistakes.
Right.
It's a lot of energy around those deals and stuff that, you know, I'm sure he's protecting me from. Mm-hmm. But that's something I said first here. You know what I mean? A lot of people out there, they know, you know, I got the whole collection of plaques. And you know, to answer your question,
yeah,
that was the one deal of my career, mm-hmm, that I was just like, oh shit, I just wish I had the knowledge.
Right.
Yeah.
At least you got it now, so.
Right.
Gucci. Word. So break down for me, like, the actual role of an executive producer, because a lot of people think it's just the money. Is that a fact or it's deeper than that?
It's you managing the manager, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like first of all, I executive produce over 200 albums, mm-hmm, hip hop albums, Chic Luchas, Style P's, Onyxes, Looms. I've done one offs with. Right now, the Chief Keef presents Wall Out, Tarantino, Little Reese. What's the white rapper went down with the Lil, whatever. All these dudes, he's executive producing credits. The one of my favorites, Tato. Mm-hmm. You know, Tato from Glow Gang. Mm-hmm. And right now, my partner right now is Little Reese. So he just came home, mm-hmm, and we about to go shoot his movie and all of that, but we'll get to that. Executive producing, mm-hmm, is solidifying and getting the budget, okay? Is either spending all your money on something, whether it's Tic Tacs, whether it's a book, whether it's anything. executive producing is financing your dreams, right? Now, if you can't finance it yourself, you find someone else to finance it. And that is executive producing. Getting the money to produce a film, getting the money to produce an album, a single, a video, and then when, and then it's your job, once they allocate the budget, to make sure all the money is spent right. You know, tell your story, man. Me and my boy Fredo Starr, again, man. We got, you know, we get our first deals $1 million. Like, he didn't really, this happened. So boom, we at Koch, me and Fredo Starr, right? We wasn't fucked up, but we wasn't fucked up, but we wasn't all the way. He just came from Def Jam, right? So I'm coming off the, you know, I left Warner and all that. I'm coming off the streets, you know? But we ready, right? So we get there and I had this relationship with Alan Brumlap from, I used to do promotions and stuff with Relativity Records, and that's how we first got out. I used to do street team stuff, tours with him and everything, Cypress Hills, Wyclef, always think. He always put me on, right? Yeah. So boom, I come to him with a record. He's looking for rap albums for Koch. I come there with Fredo Starr, right? So Fredo's like, yeah, you do your thing, man, you know what I mean? I'm the rapper nigga, right? And I was just like, you know, we, you know, Dame Dashes is out there, there's RZA, there's people that we can learn from already, Ship Nights.
Right.
I know how to do this. Say, yo, boom, what's up, Alan? How much? Alan says like this. He wrote it on a piece of paper and he slid it to me in the conference room. And I looked at this shit, and I was like, oh shit, in my head, right?
Yeah.
And I played it off like, yeah, you know what I mean? I said, hold on, let me talk to my man. We went to the elevators. I said, yo, look. I'm like, oh, sick. We started jumping up and down, going crazy. I said, yo, chill. Yo, we gotta go back in the conference room.
Right, game face on.
We went up in there, we was like, all right, cool. We gonna have our lawyer call you, you know what I'm saying? And all of that. And right away, we got a lawyer and everything. And this is another lesson right here, right? So the number that Alan gave me, I got from Koch, right?
Okay.
This is our number.
Yeah.
The lawyer, he's negotiating this contract, all this bullshit. At the end, his bill is $40,000, but he didn't even raise the money $1. He didn't raise the money that I got for $1. And we're like, well, we thought that was part of it, pay the lawyer. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? We paid the lawyer. That's part of it. Next deal. He's like, yeah, we in the building. We meet in our quarters, we sold like gold. We did a movie called Save the Last Dance. That shit went double platinum.
Right.
We deliver it. So he was like, yo, Omar, let's do an Onyx album. Me and Fedra had to go to Def Jam and get Onyx off of Def Jam. So me and Fedra, we sitting there with Leo Cohen. And Leo Cohen was like, looking at us like, is someone at this nigga like, Fedra, he was like, yeah. We like, yeah, man, we in this Def Jam deal for 7 albums. We ready to get on this next album and shit. He was like, wait, hold up. I said, well, if you're not gonna get on this, if you're not gonna give us this budget out here at Def Jam, we got somewhere to go. We gotta feed our families. And he was like, okay. So Todd Moskowitz, they gave us a release. It was the best thing for us because we was able to take care of our families for 25 years,
right.
30 years, right? Make a long story short, so boom. So the lawyer, by the second album for Onyx, on the first album on the independent level, we got another big budget. So we was like savvy a little bit by that.
Yeah.
So we like, fuck the lawyer. Fuck that lawyer shit. You giving them 40,000, fuck the lawyer's even like, yo, man, you need me. I was like, nigga, we don't need you. We don't fucking need you for 40,000. 50,000, go fuck yourself. Right. And then there was another thing back then. Beats was costing 50,000 a piece. Beats.
It's crazy.
We was like, what? We was going up to niggas. We ain't gonna say no names. We go up to niggas like, yo, we doing a Fedro, we doing an Onyx album, son. We gonna give us a beat. They like, yeah, no doubt, 49,000, 50,000. I was looking at me. we couldn't even do it, even if we wanted to. It didn't even make sense.
Right,
like,
right, right.
We was like, fuck that. We get niggas from the hood. Well, Fedro always did that. He was good at all that. He did his A&R, you know, and he found guys and, you know, he paid one solid price. And we got our shit. And they think, because we were independent, they let us do what we wanted to do.
Right.
Point about all of that is, fuck the lawyer, learn how to read contracts. You know, it's in, out, how much, no, yeah, that's it. Like, all that dumb shit. No, we're not exclusive, we're non-exclusive. If we're exclusive, they pay you so much, you don't even give a fuck what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. When is your out, how is your out, get out. If they don't give you your money, 3 days, contract is dead, all that. And we was doing that for fucking 20 years. Fuck these niggas. Mm-hmm. To the point where you can't find entertainment lawyers no more because these young kids ain't even using them niggas.
Right.
Our generation, we started, fuck this and them. This generation don't even look at
them.
Yeah.
You
know what I'm saying? They're like, come on, I can do this myself, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's the difference, man. We became bold that way.
Yeah.
But we was learning on the job. Mm-hmm. And executive producing is all of that. You know what I mean? Saying to your brother and your partner, we're not fucking with these lawyers. We taking this money. You gonna pay for your condo. You know, you gotta get your car out of the shop. This is like, we deal with real life shit.
Yeah. Right?
And then the great thing, it was getting movie roles. Mm-hmm. So we flying around the world, Alan flying us around the world to promote records because we're in different countries. Mm-hmm. I got a chance to go to Germany 10 times. I've been to London 10 times. I've been to Europe 100 times. The niggas are still out there. We've been to Russia before, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When it was the Soviet Union, we was out
right,
there.
Right, right, right.
And China and all of that. So hip hop has been good to us. We, you know, get to travel. But yeah, executive producing is finding the money, allocating the budget, and making sure everybody got the best deal.
That's what's up, bro. I think balance, you know, work and family life, you know what I mean? You got a beautiful family here, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure they need your time as well, you know, but how do you balance?
I'm gonna be honest, I'm horrible, Dad. Shit is crazy, because my kids love me, but you know, I was so focused on my dreams that the situations I was in, it just didn't work out because everybody's young and everyone is thinking about them.
Yeah.
But the kids, you know, everyone's just like, oh, Dad, you know. They don't see nothing. They just like, it's my dad, why we ain't gonna hold on, you know? And then everyone goes their way and then shit, you know?
Yeah.
But me, I was like, them having a broke dad ain't gonna ever happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When they see their dad, they're like, oh, my dad get popped, right? Mm-hmm. And he gets to this bag, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not gonna be some down and out nigga. I'm gonna be working and hustling. Catch me when you can. But now, I was pretty good as a dad. My kids have good, you know, values and shit, but you have to, now we got a great relationship, you know, but as kids, it was just like, oh, I tried to do this and put the shit together. Everyone's doing it, right? Now, as an older man, wiser, you know, all of it was my fault. Mm. You know what I mean? My fault. Why nigga like me should be just focused on what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But I was blessed to have beautiful children that looked at me, great young adults. Mm-hmm. So it's great. You know what I mean? I'm in my second life, so it's like, shit is easy. Now I go call my son and he goes, yo, what up? Put me on the shit. My daughter, like, yo, that's not fly, that's hot. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. My wife is young, so she could be like, oh, nigga, you gotta do this. You know, so, you know, I'm still popping because of them. You know what I mean? They make me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm nothing without them. So, you know, a nigga who think they somebody without their family, they ain't shit. Mm.
That's a fact. That's a fact. What's your relationship with God like?
God? Mm-hmm. God is first, you know. I teach my kids that all the time, whether they follow it or not. Allah's everything, you know. Allah's greatest, you know. You gotta, you know, I don't know whether you're a Christian, a Jewish person, a Muslim, put that first, okay? Mm. All my Jewish brothers, they be like, yeah, man, God first, they rich. All my Muslim niggas overseas, they put God first, they rich, you know what I mean? My Christian friends that I do business with and boxing and stuff, they rich, right? So, you know, they put God first in their own way.
Right.
But, you know, you know, God doesn't, you know, he don't take days off and all that, so you can't take days off. So, you know, just getting up breathing, right, is more of a blessing than having $1 billion. Like, you can't, you got right. no oxygen.
you can't take it with you.
Fuck 20 billion, you know what I mean? Like, so yeah, I take God serious, God is first, you know, that's why I'm blessed. But I had to find out that later on too, like, yeah, God, yeah, you know, God is what it is, or, you know, you're a fool to think that you're doing this yourself. And I, you know, this was bugged out, but this is a small story about God, right?
Yeah.
So I'm spending money, fucking up money, getting money, fucking up money, getting fucking up, this whole thing up and down, right? But I was always okay, right?
Yeah.
So when you think about the future, now that I know, you get anxiety. When you think about the past, you get depression.
Right.
You have to live in the moment. You gotta live it at the moment to the fullest. And I ain't find that out till later. Even though sometimes you get a little anxiety, like, yo, this is what you remember. Like, oh, fuck that. You know, this motherfucker did this to me, man, with my mother. You carry that shit for you for like 20, 30 years, you're gonna be old, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, I got a great beard, like, for my shit. Like, I let my shit grow. My shit look real white, like my outfit, right? Yeah. But my skin is good, you know, my health is good, I'm good, you know. Yeah. But I've been through some real shit, you know? So now I want to say hi. And it's about health, it's about family, it's about this money, economic literacy, you know, legacy, and then generational wealth is what I'm building. So when, you know, my kids, they have their kids and the next generation, they're gonna have companies and things that they could touch and navigate.
Yes,
before I was just reckless, like when I could have set it up earlier, like, you know what I mean? But I was just like, fuck everybody, motherfuckers, yo, you go buy me a motherfucking Benz today. I feel good.
What?
You go buy me a motherfucking Range Rover. I feel great. You know what I'm saying? Me and Federal going to the Diamond District. Oh, let's go get some Lachmans and shit. Fuck them up, you know? Because back then it was like, it was crazy, you know? We was young fathers, you know? But living in, we didn't know what the fuck we was doing. We was just having these kids. But now you know how to be a father. You know how to be economic literate. You know, you don't want to be, you know, spending money and shit. I don't know, bro. I save all my bread. I tell my kids to save your bread. You know, but it took experience, it hit hard, you know. Taxes, you know what I mean? Pay your taxes, number one, you know what I mean? A lot of people don't know what that shit is. I got a lien one time and I was like, my gosh, days? I'm a lien, bro. They shut my bank accounts down, all that shit. I'm like, hold on. But people, a lot of niggas ignore some shit like that, right?
Yeah.
I call the IRS. It was like, well, okay, we'll just take this off. Get your shit together, okay? I was like, what? Oh, shit.
Thank you.
Look at that, what? Get my shit together, right, man. Right. You know, I got my shit together. Shout out to the IRS. You know, as long as you're on the good side with them, you straight. Right? So, you know, that's a lesson, like get right with them so you can make your money, you know what I'm saying?
So what's next for you, my brother? What you got in the pipeline?
Well, right now I got the Bag Talk Sports. You know, any type of business you start, you gotta put 5 years into it before you even see a guy, right? I started this business about 7 months ago. I already, you know, booked the undercard in Korea. I've been fortunate to be, part of some guys that's really in the fight game. Shout out to David from Fight Club, John Bailey from Fight Club, Ryan from Trilla, and they embraced me. I did a versus with Onyx versus Cypress Hills,
right?
With Trilla, right? Gave us a bunch of bread, and I got, like, I do what I do. I infiltrated, found out who's doing what, and they connected me with the right people. I seen them doing fights, and I knew I wanted to do fights. So, got with the fight people. They embraced me. I always bring a deal to the table. I brought something really cool to the table. Sean Garcia, which is Ryan Garcia's brother. I reconnected them with the people at Fight Club. We went out to Korea December, and he fought out there, did well, and I got my first fight in, right? Mm-hmm. Now I got this kid named Angel Carrera, and he's 6'8", 260, and he's Mexican, very marketable, and he's gonna be his champion. Mm-hmm. So that's the guys that I'm working with. We're working with young football players coming out of high school, going into college, and trying to get them with NIL deals.
Okay.
You know, like this. Now that you can make money in college, right?
Right.
So there's another market for that. And it's my job is always be the bridge between the black community, the hood, our people, and corporate America, no matter what walks of life, sports, entertainment, and that's where we are.
Well, shit. If you can drop any piece of advice to anybody watching this right now, my brother, the floor is yours. Lay it out, man. Drop them jewels for them.
Save your money. Mm. That's as simple as that. You know, put God first. You know, don't believe in money. Don't believe in people. Invest in God, right? And he's going to invest in you. Mm. And a lot of people don't understand it's really that simple. God don't have helpers, right? So you may be looking to get into something that's gonna take you, but really God's gonna put you there. Mm. You gotta do the work though, you know what I mean? You gotta do a bunch of work. You're gonna have to take a lot of losses. If you don't wanna take losses, then don't even get into anything. Mm. But if you're willing to take losses and bounce back, you know, you're gonna be all right.
Love it, man. You're big ice, man. Thank you for coming through, man. I super appreciate you, my brother. Sure. Looking forward to getting big bags with you.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Hey, stay tuned for another episode of Sleep is for Billionaires featuring my man Ice. Don't you got the podcast about to drop too?
Yeah, I got the Bag Talk podcast. I started a Bag Talk show, but then I fell back. I have time. But now, you know, I got time. So I'm about to bring you some content. Content is king, and Bag Talk, you know what I mean? It's gonna be a series of real dialogue about finance, love, the world, hustling, economic literacy, God, relationships, you know, automobiles, fly shit, bling, you know, and how to keep deals going, you know? Yeah. A lot of people don't understand it's really, this, you know, it's this formula, and I want to share with the young people, you know what I mean? Because if I knew what I knew now at their age, and social media, nah, I'm actually where I want to be. That's the whole thing. A lot of people don't like what they do. I love what I'm living my life. Mm. You know, I'm happy, I'm good. Like, you know, that's the whole thing. I'm gonna drop a jewel, ready?
Yep.
It says, if you love yourself, and you love what you do, you're already successful.
That's it.
Maya Angelou.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Mm-hmm. Thank you, bro. You know, I'm gonna help you produce that show.
Oh,
too.
Yeah, you're gonna help me produce my podcast, because I'm just like,
Don't worry, I got you covered, my brother.
Yeah,
it's been another episode of Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. Make sure you like and subscribe to the channel. Make sure you get you some Sleep is for Billionaires merch. Stay tuned for more episodes to come. Johnny Vegas. Big Ice in the building, Bag Talk, shout out to Onyx. Stay tuned for more episodes to come, and thank you for watching. We out.
Let's go.